Now for our scripture reading, which is found in the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 1 to the verse 18. The Gospel of John, chapter 10, we read from the verse 1 through to the verse 18. This is the word of Almighty God. Come, let us hear his holy, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Amen. May the Lord bless that public reading of his most holy, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word. And may the Lord give an understanding to his word.
Please turn with me now to the chapter read to us earlier, John chapter 10, and I direct your thoughts especially to the words of verse 16. John 10, at verse 16, we read these words. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ at a certain level was exceptionally simple. He used illustrations from ordinary day-to-day experience in the home, farming, or in fishing, or here the pastoral scene, the shepherd and the sheep. Yet in spite of the simplicity of the illustrations he used, it says in verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. How important is we have the teaching of the Holy Spirit, opening our eyes to see the truth, because we may see but not perceive, we may hear and yet not really hear. And that is where we are by nature. And so the Holy Spirit comes to give us this enlightening blessing whereby we begin to truly see the things as they really are. Now notice how the chapter begins on a very sobering note. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. The words in the original was literally, amen, amen, and has been variously translated as either verily as here, or assuredly, or truly, or something like that. But I understand from godly scholars that the sense can be as serious as this. I solemnly declare to you. And what comes next? He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And thousands down through the years have been doing this very thing, hoping to, as it were, climb up to heaven by their own strength, their own means, and their own imagined goodness, or their own obedience, their own righteousness. And the Lord has to teach us our own helplessness and emptiness before we really approach Christ as the door, verse 9, who Jesus said, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. But we've come particularly to verse 16. Notice four things. First of all, what did Jesus mean by this fold? Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. What did he mean? Secondly, what did he mean by the other sheep which are not of this fold? And what did the good shepherd say he'll do for them? It says here, they shall hear my voice, them also I'm spring, and they shall hear my voice. And then fourthly and lastly, Christ's ultimate purpose. There should be one fold and one shepherd. So what then is meant by this fold? Well, first of all, it means those being called in to God's kingdom, gathered into the sheepfold in Old Testament times. You go back to the beginning of human history, we are told directly concerning Abel, for example, mentioned in Hebrews 11, that he was made righteous by faith. He had understood the way of approach to a holy God through the offering of a lamb. And others, of course, followed in the pathway of faith. And in particular, we read of Abraham and many of his descendants. And we think of Old Testament Israel. Many, of course, were not regenerate, but there was a godly remnant amongst them who were in possession of this faith, who were regenerate and brought in amongst the sheepfold. So this is what we understand by this fold. But in addition, of course, in Old Testament times, there were strangers brought in amongst them. Some became proselytes to the Jewish faith and had wanted to truly be part of God's people. Two famous names, of course. First of all, there's Rahab, the harlot of Jericho. She had taken seriously the news concerning the passing of the children of Israel through the Red Sea on dry land. And the people of the land had heard this, that the news got around fast, and she had taken it to heart. And she had wanted to be one of these people. And she knew that Jericho was going to be destroyed, but she wanted protection for her and her family. And Hebrews 11 makes it clear that she was in possession of true saving faith. Whatever her past had been, she was forgiven of her sins. She married Salmon. She gave birth to Boaz. Boaz married Ruth, another stranger, another Gentile, but brought in amongst the people of God. She saw something in Naomi she wanted for herself, which was quite remarkable because Naomi was under the chastening hand of God and in a state of sadness and sorrow, but she was returning to the land of Israel. And there was something in Ruth's heart that wanted to go with her. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And it makes it clear in the book of Ruth that she was trusting under the shadow of the Almighty. Then, of course, in addition to Old Testament saints, you can add to that those that were called into the kingdom under the ministry of Christ and the disciples as they went forth to the towns and the villages, the disciples going on ahead oftentimes to those places where Christ himself would come. Then you think of the 70 that were sent forth two by two to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And God had a work for them to do. And there were those that were brought in at that time. How tenderly the Lord Jesus spoke when he said, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So this is what we are to understand by this fold. But then secondly, what is meant by the other sheep, which are not of this fold? This is referring to the way in which the gospel was to go forth to the Gentile nations in a widespread sense. Yes, here and there, Gentiles were brought in, as we've seen, but on a wide scale, the gospel has gone forth from the time of Christ and the resurrection and Pentecost in particular. If you go to Torthorwald in the lowlands of Scotland, go to the parish church, on the gates there you will see a bronze plaque in memory of J.G. Peyton, missionary to the New Hebrides. As you may know, he went in 1858, left home comforts in Scotland to go to the South Sea Islands, and he ministered on two islands in particular, Tanna and Aniwa. These were cannibals, they were naked savages, they knew nothing really of the God of heaven apart from what creation itself can teach them, and he took his life in his hands to go to these people. It's a fascinating account if you read his book, J.G. Peyton, Missionary to the New Hebrides. I recommend it to you. But he realized that the Lord had a work for him to do. And when you go then to Torthorwald, you see on that bronze plaque this verse, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold." This was a text that motivated godly people at that era in particular to go forth with the message of divine grace. Now, of course, the gospel going forth to Gentile nations wasn't something peculiar to the New Testament. It's foretold in the Old. Just one example is Isaiah 49, verse 6. God the Father is speaking concerning his Son, and he said, "It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." Zechariah puts it like this, "Many nations in that day shall be joined unto the Lord." Ezekiel, in his 34th chapter, is another shepherd and sheep chapter. He says this, and there's a reproof, isn't there? God is reproving the so-called spiritual leaders of the people, and they had been fleecing the flocks rather than feeding the flock. And so there's the prophecy of David. And, of course, it's not King David. He died many years before. This is David's greater son. This is Christ, who will come and both seek and search out his own sheep. And so, indeed, he did when he came here below. But through his servants, he's still doing that very thing as the gospel goes forth to these other sheep around the world. And this is the universal need, because we're all like sheep that have gone astray. We've all turned to our own way. We're all wandering and afar off. We're dead in trespasses and in sins by nature. We need to be given life. We're dark and we're ignorant. We need spiritual light and wisdom. By nature, we're rebellious and enmity in our minds by wicked works. We need to be subdued and humbled before the God of heaven. So this fold then, Old Testament Israel and those called under the ministry of Christ and the disciples, the other sheep, the Gentile nations in general, but then we notice what the Good Shepherd says he will do for them. "Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice." Now this introduces us to a wonderful gospel doctrine, the doctrine of effectual calling. And we use the expression effectual calling because when God speaks by an effectual call, it has a lasting effect, a gracious effect, a saving effect. "Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice." Now, if you go to Westminster Abbey, you will see a memorial tablet to David Livingstone, who left Scotland in 1840 to go to what was then known as Bechuanaland, or South Africa, and then, of course, he travelled to other parts of that great continent. And he made a connection with tribes unreached up until that time, and he was the first white man that they saw. Other missionaries came on after him, so he was laying a good foundation for others. So when you look at his memorial tablet, it says, again, this verse, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice." You see, there were so many who were impressed by this text that this was a description of the work of the Lord's people. The church should be exercised about this very thing. And many were motivated to go to great lengths to make great sacrifices that Christ might be named where formerly he'd not been known. So this doctrine of effectual calling It's a lovely hymn. We shall sing it later. It was sung when my wife and I were baptized in Eastbourne in 1983. There is a period known to God when all his sheep, redeemed by blood, shall leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold and enter in. The appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but call by grace to change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. So new ears are given to hear the gospel. So we really begin to hear in the light of eternity. We hear now as guilty sinners, knowing we need a saviour. Dr. Gill puts it like this: just as the adder is deaf to the charmer's voice, so we by nature are deaf to the charming sound of the gospel. Some of us look back and we remember the years that went by and we heard the gospel preached faithfully again and again and again, and we understood it in a certain sense, but it didn't impact upon us. But when God worked in our hearts, showed us our sin, made us to possess our iniquities, then we heard in a new way with genuine longing and desire. Now, this is the power of divine grace, isn't it? This is the Good Shepherd calling his wandering sheep into the sheepfold. As it says in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The Apostle Peter puts it like this: "Ye were a sheep going astray, but are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." There's a lovely story told of a shepherd who fell upon hard times, so he decided to sell his sheep. But there were two old sheep he was especially fond of, so he sold them all except these two, hoping things might improve. But in fact, they got worse, so he had to sell even these two old sheep. But sometime later, things turned around for the better, and his first thought was to get some sheep again, and in particular, these two old sheep. So he managed to discover where they'd been sold on to. He went to the farmer, explained his circumstances, and the farmer said, "Yes, you can buy them back, if you can find them." Here was a whole field full of sheep. How could he find his own sheep? Well, he took several paces up the field. Then he did a strange thing. He pulled out a pipe from his pocket and played a certain note. As he did so, two of those sheep separated themselves from the rest and started to follow the shepherd. And that's how the Lord works, isn't it? Calling his people apart from others, calling them to himself. "They follow me," he says. It's a lovely verse in Zechariah's prophecy, and it says this: "I will hiss for them and will gather them, for I have redeemed them." And the word "hiss" there means the breathy sound of the shepherd's pipe. "I will hiss for them and will gather them, for I have redeemed them." So we've noticed this fold. Secondly, the other sheep, the Gentile nations. Thirdly, what the Good Shepherd says he will do for them. But fourthly and lastly, Christ's ultimate purpose: there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now, this truth was spoken from an unlikely source. Notice in the following chapter, verse 49, Caiaphas the high priest, and one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, "Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad." It has been said that God can draw straight lines with crooked sticks. Caiaphas was a crooked stick. He had no time for Christ, and yet he was given this spirit of prophecy. And remember, the gift of prophecy is not the same as grace. Saul had the gift of prophecy, but not grace. Balaam had the gift of prophecy, but not grace. So did Caiaphas. But he foretold concerning the death of Christ that not for one nation, but that all nations should be gathered together in one. Just as Christ himself says here that there should be one fold and one shepherd. The Apostle Paul puts it like this, writing to the Ephesians. He speaks of the middle wall of partition being broken down, that Jew and Gentile are brought together in one body by the cross. It's the same truth, isn't it? This great purpose of God calling his people from the Jewish nation, from all the Gentile nations. So at last in heaven, as Revelation 5 reminds us, they shall sing that new song, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain and has redeemed us to God by his blood out of every kindred, tribe, nation, and people." And thereby the promise to Abraham is fulfilled. "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Well, the Lord is still working. The Lord still has wandering sheep to be called in to his kingdom. So we labour on. We preach the gospel. We teach in the Sunday school. We pray for our own children, our grandchildren, and we speak to them about the things of God. And we support the distribution of the Holy Scriptures, because what an encouragement it is to know other sheep are yet to be called in. What a good thing it is if we can, as preachers, stand up before the people being reminded of this, there are yet other sheep that the Lord will bring. And the same, whether it be in Sunday school and other activities, whether it be open air preaching, whatever gospel outreach you might like to name that is in accordance with the Scriptures, we have this encouragement. The work is still to go on, and that the Lord still has a people to save by his matchless grace. Well, may we be encouraged concerning these things as we press on in the circulation of the Holy Scriptures and in gospel work. We're going to sing a closing hymn, and it's the hymn 495. This lovely hymn by John Kent, 495. "There is a period known to God when every sheep redeemed by blood shall leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold, and enter in." 495. "And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen."